Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, in which we watch an episode of The Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene, like crazy people. Yes. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And I'm Shannon Knoll. Hey, did I introduce myself before you guys did?
Yeah. I mean, our guest is, as Shannon Knoll said, Shannon Knoll.
I don't know.
How are you, Shannon? You're like podcast derp.
We were just not acknowledging you.
What's etiquette?
So Shannon, thank you so much for being here with us, or being there with Genevieve in Chicago.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
So listeners, I am in LA, and Genevieve is on location. I sound like we're a news team. Genevieve is on location right now with Shannon Knoll, live from Chicago. and so we can't see each other. So paint that picture, listeners. Shannon, thank you so much
for
being here.
We're blindfolded.
Yes, we're all blindfolded. So we usually start off by asking our guest, what is their Golden Girls background? How has Golden Girls affected your life, or why didn't it?
Or what?
So we usually start by asking our guests, how has Golden Girls, what is their Golden Girls background, basically?
Oh, okay. Well, I was a huge Golden Girls fan in high school. And I had a shirt with the Golden Girls on it that said, stay golden.
Nice, respect.
Yeah. Oh, and, yeah, I mean, I watched them just pretty much whenever they were on, because we didn't really have box sets or anything then. But, yeah, I watched quite a bit in high school.
Have you, stayed golden?
I didn't listen to my own shirt. I've not really stayed golden, so it's been a while.
Well, we're going to help you get back on track with this podcast.
Cool.
By that, we mean golden showers.
Sweet. Yes. That's what I thought this was. Cool.
Genevieve brought a jar of my urine with her. Genevieve, right now is the time to take out the jar.
Yeah, hell of a time to bring it out through the airport. And
yeah, is it 3 ounces or less? Because
it was in 100 different 3 ounces of bottles that she has to carry it in.
That's either a lot of control or a lot of pouring.
a little bit of both.
Okay.
Well, I controlled and poured. How about that?
Okay,
right. Yes. Yeah, very good job. Cool.
Okay, so as we watched, you guys watched the same episode I did, and it is season.
So.
I know, right? It is season 4, episode 19, and it is titled "Till Death Do We Volley," and the original air date is March 18th, 1989. So this was a day after St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. So everyone's hungover watching this episode.
Capturing the mindset of the nation.
everyone, to be fair, is probably strung out more than they were hungover in 1989.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so everybody was trying to recover from a huge night of cocaine binging.
Yeah.
okay, so as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to give us a recap of the episode for the listener who was not here or there with you guys to watch it.
All right.
Go ahead, Genevieve.
Well, Dorothy is having a high school reunion. And for some reason, they are having it in Miami, despite the fact that she went to school in Brooklyn.
That is so... Yeah, I'm sorry. Go on.
Yes, and she's very excited because her best friend from high school, Trudy, is coming down to visit. But apparently, they were more like frenemies. And they have, it's very clear that they have a very contentious relationship with lots of pranks.
Yes.
But it's okay because Trudy dies.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. 7 minutes into the episode, she dies.
Yes. So, yeah. And was there wasn't a B plot on this.
No,
Rose,
there was no B plot.
Rose and Blanche and Sophia were there. Witnessing it all.
They were present.
There really wasn't a B plot at all.
Yeah. Maybe the B plot was tangents.
Yes, that's about it. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, so I have a lot of questions for this episode too, but
we'll
go scene
do.
By scene. Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay, so we start off in the kitchen, as sometimes we start off in the Golden Girls kitchen.
Often.
And often, very much. And Dorothy just got off the phone with Trudy McMahon. She is this woman, as Genevieve said, who they were friends in high school. But they... Yeah, and so she's excited. Sophia listened in on their conversation. I love the call waiting reference because I forgot that you had to pay for call waiting back
in the
days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My mom thought it was super rude to have call waiting.
Oh, really? Like, what would happen if you call someone and you didn't have call waiting?
Then you would just get a busy signal.
Yeah.
Okay, and call waiting would be not that?
It would switch over to another line.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
That's right, okay.
Did you have to pay for
confused.
Two phone lines?
Yeah, we had a couple. Well, we never really had... Actually, what we never did was we never had call waiting. We just had a couple of phone lines. So we would just listen in on each other's conversations too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, respect to Sophia, who I'm sure listens. I mean, I feel like this is her entertainment, really. Like, she just listens
right.
to everything. So,
yeah.
She is the nose master of her time. Okay. And so it turns out that they weren't that good of friends. Their relationship is really weird to me because Dorothy's sort of laughing while she's describing their horrible relationship. She's like, what did she do? Trudy said that everybody's going to go to prom. Everybody in the tennis league. Was it softball that they played together?
Was it?
I forget.
Oh, it was tennis. They played tennis, I believe.
Tennis.
Yeah, because
okay.
there is later at the party, they have a banner made, and it's like National League. Actually, no, it didn't say volleyball on it. It just said National League 1946.
It said League Champs.
Yeah.
Very broad.
Yeah, it's kind of like Go Sports. So just
and
like very, very
so
I
was
general.
Like, so this wasn't a high school reunion. It was a reunion for their team?
I guess so. And it was like all these people were in Miami.
Well, because they are all old.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I guess, yeah. I don't know. It was just was very, very convenient.
We're all just old together now.
Maybe it's that thing when like somebody in your family moves somewhere, then everybody moves there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe they were just really fucking tight, but like they haven't seen each other in like 44 years because it's 1989.
Mm-hmm. So
45 years.
They weren't that tight if they hadn't seen each other and they all lived in Miami.
They were like Facebook stalking each other like 46 years. There are like, I keep changing the number because I'm not sure which one. So I just feel like if I say any number, it'll be correct. They haven't, they, if I say every number, but.
I think it's 43 years, if it was 46.
Okay, 43 years. Because that was their graduation. Because they could have been champs, but that wasn't their graduation year. They could have been champs their varsity year.
No.
I don't know.
All right. Guys, write in if you can stop.
Oh, so the prom. Okay, so Trudy told everybody that we're gonna show up in our tennis whites, and so that's tennis shoes, right? And so Dorothy showed up, and it's the only one that showed up with them ahead of her time, because in the '80s that was like the fucking cool thing to do, is go to prom in your tennis shoes. That's what everybody in John Hughes movies did.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in the '40s, you could get shot for that.
Oh. So. Yes.
Yeah.
In the '40s, they would shoot you and take your white tennis shoes. Roving gangs
because
of Brooklyn.
Yeah, it was.
They
it
would
was
just
that, or not wearing gloves, or showing up
they
without
would,
a hat,
or just
they would call
to
her
World
a lesbian.
Well, here's
they would call
thing.
Her a lesbian for wearing man's shoes to prom.
I mean, I think Dorothy probably got called a lesbian a lot.
Do you think that maybe they were, like, in love?
That was my first thought. I'm like,
yeah.
You're talking about all these relationships, and they're, like, the bestest of best friends, and I'm like, they are for sure finger-banging.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Like, it's that Helga and, you know, Helga G. Pataki and Hey Arnold, like, relationship. Shannon, I don't know if you guys watched that show, but it was like, there was a girl that was in love with a guy, but she was just so mean to him because she was so afraid of showing her feelings. She did the
Which
opposite.
Show?
Hey Arnold.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
It's been a while since I remember Helga. Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
Helga.
It's the same way that the musical Wicked, those two are actually in love.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And they're just dicks.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, no one in that... I'm skipping ahead, but no one in that reunion had Brooklyn accents. Everyone's like... just like, where is this person? Where is Trudy? I'm like, you guys are liars. You guys...
Well,
you guys lied about where...
How many people spoke at that party? Was it just that one woman? Because she just had, like, that irritating beady voice.
I don't even remember
her.
I was just staring at the lady with the eyebrows. Did you see the lady with the eyebrows on the couch?
Yes.
She was that person from Romy and Michelle's high school reunion that was, like, just wanted to be friends with everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cameron Mayheim, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she's great.
Toby?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember way
Please
too
don't
much about
call
that
me.
Movie.
Please don't tell me to bug off. Oh. Oh, and Dorothy had sex with a bug man. Coincidence? I think yes. Okay. So she's coming into town. And so the next scene, they're getting cheese and crackers ready for the one-on-one. So this is in the reunion. This is Dorothy seeing Trudy for the first time in I believe, those 43 years.
Because they
never said anything about college. They never mentioned that they got together when they were 35 to meet up, right?
Yeah.
It's like... Yeah, really weird. Not even like their 20th high school year reunion.
I mean, if they were that good of friends, wouldn't they have like talked or something?
Or written a letter or something? Yeah.
I guess
or sent the... each other like send each other pizzas. Like
pizzas?
like pizza pranks.
They send each other cheesecake.
Oh, yeah. You know Dorothy loves some cheesecake.
Yes.
From Cheesecake Hut. Oh, someone delivered 40 cheesecakes.
Oh, my God.
From Cheesecake Hut.
a Pizza Hut, but it's cheesecake. That's amazing.
Yeah, that would be. It's just covered in pepperonis, though.
Ew.
But
stuffed with hot dogs.
Okay, so then so we meet Trudy. She's very, like, very peppy, in your face, like the most exciting person in the office kind of woman. You know, like she's she's like just really annoying to me. I wanted to slap her in the face as soon as I met her.
We all hated her. We were all pretty happy when we thought she died.
Hi, Dorothy. Did I tell you that he's also rich when she's talking about her husband? And her husband's just standing there like, bitch, I pay for your fucking trip here.
And boob job, apparently. They would not stop talking about her boob job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her tits were not that big.
That's what I was like. I was like, I think if they did this show now, they should have made one giant boob and one really small. Because that's what Sophia was making fun of.
Well, nobody read the script. Like, the prop person didn't read the script.
Right.
Or they just didn't realize that she was supposed to have giant tits. Or the casting director didn't read the script, like, that she was supposed to be heavy boobed.
Oh my God. What if they put a casting call out for people with one big tit and one little one? And they just couldn't find anyone.
she was the most lopsided tit actress they could find of that time.
Yeah.
1989.
Her stage name is Big Tit, Little Tit.
In her skills, it's like, I have one giant tit and one not giant tit.
Those are two skills.
Okay.
Nothing else.
Nothing else. It's that over and over. And so slowly we start to realize that they are just really out to get each other. And there's back and forth a lot. And there was like, the breast implant comments. There was, you're getting fat, or like you haven't lost that weight. There was no real knock at Dorothy looking like a dude, which surprised me.
Do they usually knock that in the show?
Yeah. They do it quite a bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was she was like, well, it's been a long time since I've seen you. Like, she doesn't say she looks good. Like, she says, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you look so good, and you look so good, but you're still fat or something. And then, and then her husband has one line in this whole show. It's, tell me about the time you guys ran for class treasurer or something.
He speaks
that
at the end, too.
Yeah.
Oh, he does. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I forget.
Scene.
I forget things, and then I apologize for them. That's how this podcast works. He later on, we'll get to that. And so, they for some reason go into, well, Blanche sort of calls them out. Blanche is like, it doesn't seem like you guys are fucking friends, right? And they're
right.
And they're like, this is just the way we are,
yeah,
right? And then they go into the kitchen. I forget to do what? To go finger each other.
Yeah.
Because they go to the kitchen, and then they walk in on them and they're arm wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like lesbians.
Yeah, like lesbians. No, dude. They were making out, and as soon as they opened the door, they're like,
oh. No, that's how lesbians decide who's going to get fingered first.
But then your hand's all fucked up, though, if you do that. So you have to take like
not if you win. Yeah.
Yeah, it just shows who has the stronger fingers.
Yeah.
That's true. But I feel like when I win an arm wrestling match, which I have many of.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't. I like my hand. Even if I win, my hand is fucked up. And I cannot finger anybody.
Oh. I feel bad for you.
It's okay. I'll use my other hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you just arm wrestle with your non-dominant hand.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you finger with your left hand if you're right-handed.
No,
you arm
wrestle with your left hand if you're right-handed, and then you finger with your right hand.
Okay, so that's why I always win, because I use my right hand.
Yeah. Thank you for being a podcast. We're teachers first.
Today we are sponsored by PFLAG.
Cheesecake Hut. Then there was this whole bull castration thing that I sort of skipped over. Like,
oh, yeah.
I guess Rose used to castrate bulls in competition.
Rose wanted to, she didn't want to be left out. So she said, well, I almost was president of my bull castration club.
Right.
So, yeah.
And so,
do you
castrate bulls, like, when they're grown?
I think you do it when they're, you know, not grown, when they're babies, right?
Okay, that's what I assume, like when you brisk a baby, right?
Right, but I don't really know.
I think you're asking the right people about bull castration.
Right. I just assumed that... That since Chicago is abundant in cows.
I know.
That,
we do have a history with cows here. So to be fair, you're probably asking the right city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cow burning down the city.
Right.
Yeah.
They all have to take the cow out and cut off her udders.
Her labia.
Into the city. Her labia.
They cut off the cow's labia in punishment.
They labestrated her.
Yeah.
They liberated her. Poor cow.
Yeah, that's
too.
That's sad.
Oh, okay.
Don't cut off labias.
Yeah, if you learn anything else from this podcast, don't cut off any cow labias.
Cowschwitz, as Ron Bye called it, when I was in San Francisco. So then they catch. What was that? Oh, somebody said something about getting their butt whipped. Oh, you're such a pussy when you get your butt whipped. And then Blanche is like...
Oh, they're smack-talking each other.
Yeah. Oh, and they're what?
They're smack-talking each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then Blanche is like, actually, when you get your butt whipped... Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were being serious about actual butt whipping.
Yeah, she's like,
she did that
a
couple
times. Yeah. Yeah, things were really turning her on a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
this is a very sexual, it was a lot of turning on suggestive moments in this episode.
Well, I think everyone just kind of chimed in with their own ways. Sophia chimed in with some fart jokes.
Did Sophia have a fart joke? I missed
it. she had one where she's like, oh, I didn't know you could hear that. Silent but deadly.
I thought that she was talking about what she said. I didn't realize she farted.
It was a very subtle fart joke because she said something out loud that she thought and didn't think she said. And then she said, oh, you heard that? Oh, well, Blanche goes, Sophia! And then Sophia's like, oh, I'm sorry, you heard that? And then it was a fart joke.
Yeah, because she said, now it makes sense why she said I have a cushion wall. She farted into the cushions.
Oh, speaking of cows, Trudy calls Dorothy a pathetic middle-aged cow.
Yeah. I wondered about that. Is she really middle-aged?
She's over middle-aged, isn't she? She's like turning 60 by now. She was like 56 when the show started. So she must be sick, around 60. But is that 60 still middle-aged, right?
I guess so. I would think middle-aged is maybe from like 40 to 60. Not that anyone lives to be 120, but
yeah,
it's, you know, not old.
And then they're like, all right, well, arm wrestling didn't get us nowhere, so we're going to take this out in a tennis court. But then they didn't. Okay, I keep thinking they're playing volleyball because it said the episode is called Till Death Do We Volley.
They never volley. I'm very glad this was not a volleyball episode, for starters.
I never played tennis.
I'm not a volleyball fan, but
I just sounded like an idiot. Tennis. Please explain.
Go ahead. My whole explanation is they volley in tennis as well.
What is volleying? What does volleying mean?
I don't remember.
It just means they go back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah, it just means like you're going back and forth without scoring. But why are you afraid of dislike volleyball so much?
Their heads.
I don't know if just I have like enough time to go into it. I just had to play in middle school and in high school. Yeah,
it's when the balls go back and forth, kind of like their heads go back and forth into their legs.
That's a good stretch, yeah.
Till death do we volley. So then the next scene, they're at the tennis court, and Trudy and Dorothy, you don't see them play, you just see balls being thrown back and forth and like in the same angle, like it was just like some prop person throwing two tennis balls back and forth.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. If they did, like, if each, like, PA had, like, a pile of tennis balls on their side and they were just throwing them at each other.
Or do they have to catch them?
I mean,
we have a two-ball budget.
Yeah.
They spend all their money on that league champ sign. They need to.
Yeah.
That was like the whole budget down the drain. So Sophia, Blanche, Rose, they're watching intently and they're just like, Blanche says, I can't believe that all of this and there's no man at stake. And I was like, Where are you now, Jezebel? Where are you now? Where were you then, feminist that were keeping track of shit? You know, like that's
they were writing about it in a zine and putting it in coffee shops.
Oh, they're in zines and shit? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're boycotting this episode.
but only in 12 magazine zine form, like they only printed 12 of them, so not that many people heard about it.
Yeah, it's just basically like 30 people in the Madison, Wisconsin area, so
yeah,
because printing papers cost so much money back then,
right? But all of Brenda's friends really knew.
Okay, and so they sort of shit talk to each other and then they go back to playing, and then they sort of like Blanche and Rose and Dor and Sophia are watching and they sort of watch her die and they just sort of just sit there and they're like, she's dead. She died.
Yeah.
That's definitely a dead person there.
Yeah.
No one got up.
No one checked her pulse.
Ostensibly, Dorothy was doing it, but it really seemed like Dorothy maybe was just standing there staring at her also.
Yeah, Dorothy ran into the bleachers and was like, all right, she's dead. Oh, no, let's get out of here.
Dorothy checked her pulse between her legs one last time.
Yeah. Dorothy made her dead body squirt one last time.
Yeah. It would have been great, though. She was wearing a skirt.
Yeah, that's why.
Okay. So they're like, so then the scene cuts, and then we don't know, like, if the ambulance came. We don't know what, or maybe they just left. They're like, oh, she's dead. We should get maintenance to come clean this up.
Well, it sounded like, we were talking about this a little bit, it sounded like they just left her because of the later events. It seems like no one checked on her.
Yeah.
Yeah, like no one, like there was no coroner or person that came to check to see if, unless all of that was played by actors, and she must have orchestrated this whole, like rented an ambulance and they took her away and hired like the Miami players to act out the whole.
She learned how like stop her heart.
The Miami players. Yeah. Players. Is that their community theater down there?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, when I get old, I'm going to go join the Miami players and do a rendition of Guys and Dolls where Sarah Brown is played by an 82-year-old woman.
I want to be, yeah. Well, they did. They were in a community play and they played like teenagers. So it was like a bunch of old people and like Dorothy and Blanche, and they all played like high schoolers, and it was really disturbing. Previous episode.
I guess that's in return for all those kids playing old people and like high school plays.
Yeah, it's backwards. It's never gonna be age appropriate unless you're a professional Broadway actor in your 30s.
A wig is always going to be involved. That's all I have to say.
Oh, thank God.
Only do plays when you're a child or very old.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I want to be in a teen movie when I'm like, friggin', if I make it to 85.
Yes! You'll be in a Can Hardly Wait, the sequel.
I would love to be like, in that, no matter what.
Yeah. Still can't hardly wait.
Still getting fingered by Seth Green in the bathroom. Wait, yeah, right, Seth Green.
There's a lot of fingering in this episode.
I know.
Yeah. It's the way we like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so they left her dead carcass laying in the hot Miami sun. at the tennis court.
Right.
And now they're in the kitchen and they're like crying, like Dorothy's crying. She's like, she feels guilty. She's like, see, and so, okay, another spoiler alert. At one point, Dorothy realizes that this is a prank, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe when she felt her heart beating as she ate her out and was like, oh, you're alive.
Yeah, but she felt her G-spot quiver and was like, oh, yeah.
This is a prank.
This is for sure a prank.
This is how I know. This is the ultimate test.
That's how Dorothy like checks for people's pulses.
Just like a little,
Yeah.
You got me good, and you got me good.
Boy, did I miss you. that's the last line she says.
Boy, did I miss you.
Yeah. Okay. Then there's this whole like story that Blanche tells to make her feel better about her. About how when she was little, she had a friend named Kathy Lee. And I was like, the Kathy Lee?
Yeah.
And so I was like, so she had a friend that her name was Kathy Lee, but her mother didn't want her to be friends with her. because she wasn't a part of the mothers of, was it the Daughters of Confederacy?
Right.
Which makes me, which I was like, is that a racist? Not a, I mean, they don't think it's, I mean, is it, was it called racism back then? I don't know.
Yeah, it was called racism.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like the word racist only existed like only Benjamin Franklin knew that word back then.
What? Wait, Anthony, what? What is your concept of history? Benjamin Franklin?
Like, by the way, are you talking about 1989? Are you talking about like after the Civil War?
I'm talking about like, you know, from like the 50s and before. Like, it was, the word racism was not even in the dictionary because it was so normal to be racist.
Well,
and so
I wonder when that word was invented.
Yeah. I mean,
it was definitely around in the 80s, but like, I don't know if Benjamin Franklin would have known that word.
Right, and if you knew if Benjamin Franklin knew racism.
I mean, we know he was probably racist, but
yeah, he was probably it. He discovered
He invented racism. Along with the bifocals.
He flew a kite and someone yelled a slur at it, and that's what
he invented electricity
racism.
Because he invented electricity because there's just too many black people you couldn't see. I am sorry. But I was also thinking maybe Kathy Lee was black and that's why she couldn't join the Daughters of Confederacy. And
was her that mom was the, like, you know, I think it's like more of a I think that's more of like a high society thing because there's like Daughters of the American Revolution, and it's kind of like a high society kind of thing, and that's kind of what it would be in the South. Like, I don't necessarily think it's racist per se. It probably is a little bit because it's probably just a bunch of like old white ladies.
But, right, like the DARs.
Yeah.
Pretty. Well, I just racist.
I just imagined a bunch of like women, old white women wearing like Confederate flag print dresses. And like modeling them around.
Do you think that's what all their meetings are just sewing dresses out of flags?
I think they definitely had a Confederacy cake. For sure.
I wonder if that's delicious or hateful.
Oh, I bet it's both. Yeah, I bet there's a very good raspberry filling.
Probably.
The cake is made out of cotton.
Okay, and all right. So then they're like, "Oh, the reunion is that night." It was that night, right? Like she died.
It was
the
that
reunion.
Evening.
She died in the morning. The reunion was that night. They're not gonna cancel it.
Oh,
they're
no.
gonna still have
no.
it.
They think it's best to reveal it at the reunion. Let people feel good for a little bit and then feel bad about feeling good.
Yeah, let them get a few drinks in them and then announce
right.
a death.
Because when you announce death, you want everybody to be a little bit sauced so they cry more.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was really fucked up how all of this went down. And also, okay, so Dorothy is like, okay, so we're at the party. And Dorothy's in her room.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, so at this point, she knows that she's not dead. Or she, like we said, figured it out from the very beginning. The twitching.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand at what point she decided to like grab her husband and say, I know what she's up to. She was fucking twitching when I ate her out. And I know she's not dead.
Well, I would have hoped that this woman would have told her poor husband that she was going to pretend to die. Right?
Yeah.
Or did they say that Dorothy told him?
So she says she pulled it out of her husband. So
she like, tried to finger the husband.
Yeah, so she got the husband to tell her the truth. And so what I don't understand is like why didn't they console the husband? Like, why weren't the Golden Girls concerned about the husband? His wife just died. They were just worried about Dorothy. Like, it seemed odd to me. And I don't know.
Did we even see him at the party before all this went down?
He might have been hiding in the closet.
Yeah, did we even see him at the party? Did anyone know that he was there?
He wasn't at the party. He wasn't at the tennis court. He just sort of took off.
I think he's like, maybe, yeah.
Right. And so, okay. And so they're at the party, and that one lady, she's nagging everybody. Everyone's trying to pretend. Oh, what does Rose say? Like, nothing's going on. It's not like anybody died. I'm like,
good job,
way
Rose.
To go.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Good job, Rose.
So Sophia goes into the bedroom and she's basically nagging Dorothy that she's being a bad host. And at this point, it's like Dorothy is putting her friends and her mom through this emotional roller coaster, you know, when she could have just said, we're going to play a prank on Trudy because she's fucking lying. I am sure of this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she was afraid that Sophia, who we know has a big mouth, was going to say something. Which Sophia proved to be true by blurting out that Dorothy had a one-night stand with... Was it the Bug Man?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the Bug Man?
It's the guy that comes in, gets rid of their bed bugs. And
the Exterminator?
The Exterminator.
Cool.
The guy that cleans out the cockroaches off B. Arthur's taint.
Takes care of Rue McClanahan's vaginal lice.
He sprayed for roaches.
Yeah. Miami has a lot of roaches, guys. You need a bug man. Clear them out. By the way, that would be the grossest thing. That's like my biggest fear is like a cockroach climbing into my butthole.
Oh my God. Like, if you hook up with a bug man, you're 10 times more likely to have that happen.
Or less likely. I don't know.
Well, if he did, he would spray it.
Yeah, he'd be able to help.
I mean, he could bring them into your home, but then he would get it out.
That's what I wonder is, do exterminators like constantly have bed bugs?
Yeah, because they're always around bugs.
Yeah.
I think bug exterminator guys, I think they're just con man. I'm saying it here because they never work. You just have to move.
Anyway. I'm not going to freak Genevieve out. Well, I am. When we moved in here, we had bed bugs. That was a year ago, though. We haven't had them since.
Yeah, it happens. Exterminators work for some things.
Ours were good.
I had bed bugs once, too, and I had to move to get rid of them because, like, I had all these neighbors that were, like, I was, like, they were not from here, and like, I think in their culture, they liked bed bugs or something, or they didn't.
Ew. What?
They worship the bed bug.
I'm not going to say which culture it is because I don't want to sound racist.
Yes.
But there's a culture.
There's a culture that likes bed bugs out there. In a way, I want to know what culture it is so I don't chill
there. Or they didn't mind it because somebody told, you know, like, or like, this is a normal thing where I'm from, you know.
Sure.
Or like, they're our friends. We give them blood or something. Anyway.
Jesus.
Okay.
We give them our skin cells. We give them our blood. We give them our beds.
Okay, so then...
Were these people from, like, the 1800s?
Yes, they were... The word racism didn't exist. Only Benjamin Franklin knew it. And so... So she convinces Dorothy to tell everybody the truth, to stop being such a little bitch. And so they go outside into the party where everybody flew in from Brooklyn, and like, and everyone's excited to see Trudy. And she's like, and then Sophia blurts it out, like, "Ma, can you help? Ma, can you help me out here?" B. Arthur says.
That's a really good B. Arthur.
I just do what's his name from Mrs. Doubtfire, the hairdresser, Harvey Feinstein.
I
just
do a
Harvey
Feinstein.
Oh, okay. Help me out, Ma.
Perfect.
And so
I would have never put those two together, but yeah,
they're the same person.
They are.
Yeah. Have we ever seen them in the room together?
No, because one of them is dead.
Nope. She was a Mrs. Doubtfire in real life and in the movie Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. Or do you think B. Arthur dressed up as Harvey Feinstein and just is still alive as him?
Because it was Harvey Feinstein the whole time.
Yeah. He's like, "Got you guys."
I got you. Hairspray. And so then like everybody's like, I think as soon as she says that, Dorothy runs back into her bedroom like a little biatch. She can't handle that her lover just died. That's what's happening.
Sure.
And then Trudy comes in. She knocks because she's not a huge bitch. She'll at least knock. They open the door, and she's like, "Ta-da! I'm a giant cunt. I'm still alive." But didn't you guys call that? Did you guys think that she was gonna come in at that moment?
No. Did you?
Yes. Did you?
I thought maybe. I was just hoping they didn't just leave her out in the sun.
Sure.
Because there was a buildup. There was such a buildup. I'm like, she's got to be alive, you know.
I thought it might be a twin. I thought maybe Trudy had a twin named Judy.
She's like, you guys, my twin died. It wasn't really me. Ta-da!
Isn't that great? Someone you don't know died.
I'm taking her place at this weird party.
Oh, man.
And they grew up with her, and they never knew she had a twin.
Sort of like Harvey.
Because it was...
like Harvey Feinstein.
Oh, yeah, it was Harvey Feinstein! Harvey Feinstein died.
Harvey Feinstein and B. Arthur were the basis for Freaky Friday.
They were mother and daughter.
Uh-huh.
Harvey Feinstein was the mother. Dorothy was the daughter. And they're like, "You'll never understand where I'm coming from." And then switch lives.
During a lightning storm.
Yeah.
They say Mrs. Doubtfire three times and they switch bodies. Oh, man. Okay, so then everyone's like, legit, everybody's like, "That's fucked up. Like, you're messed up. Like, you're a cunt. Like, fuck you."
They right? boo her. Yeah.
Did they boo her?
They booed her. They booed her. Yeah.
Did Sophia fart on her?
Oh, that's a stupid idea, even if she liked her.
they gave her the light.
My dream would have been to have a Stilgetty fart on me.
They gave her the light. They're like, "You got 2 minutes to apologize."
Yeah, you gotta wrap this up.
Your ass is up. Yeah. And so then they're like, she's in the bedroom, and this is reminiscent of a Roseanne episode, by the way, where this sort of thing happens, where everyone's saying that Jackie's husband is gay. And then Dan and Fred are sleeping together, and it was like a prank. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, I
remember. Yeah, like Roseanne thought Fred was gay and they played a prank on her. Anyway, so that was like, so I've been sort of connecting Roseanne and Golden Girl plots. I'm not sure if they, it was just like a trope, you know, in the 80s, because it could have happened in All in the Family or, you know, like this kind of scenarios. But
I feel like when a sitcom runs for a while, there are only so many situations they can put them in. And then Roseanne, probably all the writers for that watched all those shows. So they're probably stored in their brain somewhere.
Right, because they're just sitcom, they're just the same writers, or they have dinner together. I don't know. What are you writing about? Hey, this.
They eat whatever Hollywood. What do they eat in LA?
Cheesecake Hut.
Cheesecake Hut.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's really big out here. It's really big out here.
That's cool.
Pepperonis.
Pepperoni on your cheesecake. Hot dogs in the crust.
So then, like, she walks in and Dorothy's sleeping with her husband, her rich husband.
They're in bed together. With the covers pulled over their heads or, like, up to their necks. Yeah.
I wish that they pulled the covers off and it was Harvey Weinstein with two puppets.
With a puppet?
Or the Arthur. Or like, or he's got his like weenie inside her.
Oh my god.
He's weenie.
So just be Harvey Weinstein's body. Wait, but Harvey Weinstein would be, so her weenie would be inside the puppet?
I'll go with that. I was thinking that her husband his weenie is inside Dorothy.
Oh, okay.
But they couldn't physically do that the way they were laying down.
Unless he had, like, a barnacle dick.
Or she had gigantor flaps that reached over.
She had, like, a tube.
A tube? Yeah. Or he's, like, his arm is stretched across the bed, and he's just, like, finger banging. Like, all crazy.
He's like, unroll your tube. It's like an elephant nose situation.
Yeah, and she's eating his peanuts.
That would be amazing.
Oh
shit.
My god, her tube like vagina is just sucking on his balls. I don't know, man.
I accidentally pressed mute on my phone, and I was like, what happened to you? Okay, but you're back.
He died.
Okay. No.
It's okay, relax. We're just pranking you.
You got eaten alive by a giant bed bug. Okay.
No.
More. Okay. No, there's no more bed bugs. Okay. So she's
we're
like,
all freaking out.
They were giant, right?
Yeah.
Oh no. Okay. So then, so they dragged it out of, so Dorothy explains it, but doesn't explain like how they got the body. She explains that I realized that you're playing a trick on me.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I left your body laying there, your carcass just like frying in the sun, like or those actors from the Miami Players were just really bad actors. They're just like, yeah, she's what do you call it? You know, fucking corpsed out.
Corpsed,
you know,
out.
What a corpsed out. She's corpsed out.
Yeah,
she KO'd.
That's the medical term.
Real corpsed out.
Yeah. She suffered from trip-itis because she tripped. She's dead.
I think she had a heart attack. Oh, yeah, she tripped and she had a heart attack. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, she tripped and had a heart attack, which is two different things.
Maybe that's how Dorothy knew.
Yeah. That reminds me of, like, cartoons, like, when like, a cartoon car, like, dies, like, his engine explodes and the tires go flat at the same time.
Like, oh, yeah, like, things that don't happen together.
Yeah, things that don't happen together. Like, oh, I tripped and had a heart attack. Like, you usually just have a heart attack. You don't trip and have a... I mean, I guess you could... If you're eating a biscuit, maybe. Anyway.
And if you're a cartoon car, like, you're... Like, if a car dies for real, like, the eyes don't... The headlights don't, like, just X out.
Some of them close, though, if you have, like, one of those closing headlights.
That is a good point. Yeah.
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 Okay, so then, like, they reveal the truth that, oh, we got you. And then Trudy's like, oh, fuck me. Like, you guys are so funny. I missed you. And then they take off into, they all go to the party and I guess everybody, I'm assuming, was like, oh, you two people that are funny that we came to visit that we're not involved in your lives, but we're here for some reason. And then, but Blanche, oh no, they didn't leave. Dorothy stayed in there. Blanche and Rose get pissed. And they're like, you put us to fucking hell. They didn't say it like that, but you basically put us through this emotional roller coaster. Rose is going along with it. And that was also a joke. Blanche comes back and she's like, hey, gotcha. And so they were like,
a real friend wouldn't do this, and they storm out. And then Blanche comes back, but Rose doesn't, because Rose thought it was for real.
Yeah, Rose went to go get a gun.
Rose went back to the farm to get her shotgun and is on her way back to castrate Dorothy.
Is that how you castrate a bull? You shoot its balls?
Yeah, you shoot their balls.
Yeah.
She was going to take off Dorothy's labia. And,
that'll teach her to be a better friend.
That's in the credits. We didn't watch all the way through the credits, but if you watch them, it's just Rose taking off Dorothy's labia.
There was a gun prop manager credit. We did not see that.
Yeah. When you see a gun prop manager credit in the beginning of a play, you have to see a gun shoot someone's labia off by the end.
It's a special labia gun.
Yeah. Labia gun. What would that look like?
It would be like a, I think it would be like a bayonet, because then you'd have to like cut off the remaining parts with a knife.
Okay, sure.
You're giving this some thought.
I've thought about how to castrate a labia before. You guys never had?
No.
It's called clit straighting. It's called clit straighting.
Oh, that's a real thing.
Oh, that is. Oh, sorry, Middle East.
Oh, man.
That's all better. All better. Okay.
I still want to know the culture that worships bed bugs.
Middle East.
Yeah.
Because they
cut off the clits and, you know, and they love bed bugs. They're just, you know, sorry. I am so sorry if somebody's listening to this and they're in the Middle East.
Yeah, Middle East, we don't know. We thought Benjamin Franklin invented racism and that
Benjamin Franklin was alive in the 1980s.
And bed bugs are huge and bug men also help get bugs out of your vagina.
That one's true.
Bugman.
That one is true. I got an infestation in my crotch.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. All right. I think we did it, guys. We did the episode.
We talked about one whole episode.
Once again. And so thank you so much, Shannon, for doing this with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's good talking to you.
Yay. Tell Tyler that we missed him. We can do plugs. And this comes out on July 20th. So by the time he finishes this sentence, maybe you can think of a show that you would like to promote. We have listeners from all over the country. And where can people find you online as well? Go ahead.
Sure. So check out We Still Like You, which is a shameful storytelling show and podcast. And also Koch Brothers Mystery Show, which is also on iTunes.
Nice.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
and We Still Like You is such a fun show.
Yeah, that was our closing show at the Bird City Comedy Festival. It was really fun.
Indeed. Where can people find you online? Did you say that already? I'm sorry.
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Snapplegate87.
All right, so you, do it, listeners, do it, because I will not post the links. Okay, and. Genevieve, what are you doing after the July 20th, and where can people find you online?
Well, I'm going on vacation, so you might not hear from me for a while, because I'm going on a cruise.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yay.
So just know that I went on a cruise and did not die.
are you saying that preemptively?
Yes. Cool. Hopefully I don't die on the cruise.
Please don't die on the cruise.
Yeah,
please don't.
I'm actually August 5th. I'm gonna have gonna be back in Phoenix. I'm gonna have a house show with Jason Webb and friends. That's gonna
Yay.
Be at my house. Should be a lot of fun.
Jason Webb.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, very very funny.
What day is that?
I believe
You're not
it's
sure
a
yet.
Thursday, but the date is August 5th. I'll repeat that
okay.
one more time.
Yeah. I won't be here. I won't be there. Okay. I'll be there if I have a job. How about that? Okay. I'm sorry. Anything else you wanted to plug? I think I interrupted you.
I think that's it for a little while.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, and I'm at Genevieve Rice on all the outlets.
All the electrical outlets.
Yes.
Okay.
Just
and the shopping store outlets.
Yes. All the outlet malls. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All the outlets for emotional anger. Just at Genevieve Rice.
Yay, the rule of three. Okay. And I'm at Anthony DeSamito on Twitter and Instagram. And I did a Snapchat. I Snapchatted. I actually did. I am at Jizzamito on Snapchat. And
nice.
Thank you. I figured why not.
I have snapped once. I think I created a story. And that's it.
We sound like 80-year-olds.
I have one friend on Snapchat.
I have that one snappy chat. Snapchat-a-rooney. And I'm going to be on the... I have shows, but I'm sure I forgot them. But I remember July 28th, I'm going to be at the Silver Lake Lounge at the U Up show
nice.
In Silver Lake. Yeah, and it's a show that starts at midnight. That's why it's called U Up. And that one's really fun. It's ran by Thigh Gap Comedy's Madison Shepherd and Danielle Perez. And I'm going on July 29th, the day after that, I'll be at Smoka. at 7 o'clock and Comedy on Fire at the Firehouse Gallery at 9 o'clock. So that'll be all in Phoenix. And so, yay. Along with our own individual Twitters, the podcast also has a Twitter. It's at Thank You For Being a Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP, at TIFBAP. Also at TIF, you can also TIFBAP on Instagram. And you can find us on facebook.com/ Thank You For Being a Podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, or any other platform you used to listen to us today. For those of you that are following along, we have the next episode is season 4, episode 20, and it is titled High Anxiety. Music is by Mike Dennison and Brian Coconuts. His Twitter is at Coconuts. That's why he said that. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a beautiful day and or night. Yay!
Yay! Yay!
Gonna stuff a chicken.
Gonna stuff the chicken.
Like my mama taught me.
Like my mama taught me.
Gonna take the chicken.